Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Well, for every good gift that God gives us, there is a corresponding, sometimes not just one, but many corresponding misuses for that gift, abuses of that gift. Take food. Food is a good gift. It's necessary for life. Gluttony is the abuse of that gift. Fruit of the vine, a good gift from God. Drunkenness is an abuse of that gift. What about the gift of God's word? Can it be abused? And if it can be, what are the results? We're going to talk about bad uses of God's law here in the first half hour of this Wednesday's Issues Etc. It's March the 3rd. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest for the first half hour. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We're going to talk about signs and symbols in the church. She's author of a new children's book titled Behold the Lamb, An Introduction to Christian Symbolism. That's the second half hour of Issues Etc. today. In the second hour of the program, we'll spend some time with Ken Samples, concluding a three-part series with him on answering tough questions about the Christian faith. Today, thinking through objections to Christianity, objections like it cannot be that this is one way and the only way to God. Don't all roads lead to God? We'll answer that objection and others in the last 45 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, and you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver. He's host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of an article titled Five Illegal Uses of the Law. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, it's always a pleasure. I'm looking at your Twitter feed right now, seeing if there's anything interesting on here.
So. Is there? I mean, if Jeff's doing his job, it should say something about you. He's doing it right now. He holds up his laptop to show me that he's actually sending out the tweets.
Oh,
right
to see
now.
My name on your Twitter feed, there's not a really a bigger thrill.
You mean it's a bigger thrill than being on the show itself?
Oh, half dozen one way, you know, six the other, so.
All right. Well, if you keep watching while answering my questions, you will see your name appear in due course. All these good gifts like food and fruit of the vine and sex and all the other things that God gives as good gifts can be abused. Some might say it's different with the Bible, with God's word. That's God's word. That's his thing. And we can't abuse it. How do you respond?
Well, Paul talks explicitly about this abuse of the law. I'll give you the verse here, 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Paul says, "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." So there is a lawful use of the law, and there's an unlawful use of the law. And I think this is a just kind of a good broader point to start with, is that the Lord gives us freedom in a lot of things, but just because there's freedom with something doesn't mean that you can't abuse it or you can't do it. There might be a lot of right ways to do something, but that doesn't mean there's no wrong ways to do it. And that's certainly true with the law. There's a lot of right and good and useful uses of the law. We traditionally talk of three of them in the catechism: the curb, the mirror, and the guide. But just because there's a multitude of right uses of the law doesn't mean there's not any wrong uses. And in fact, there are bad uses of the law. And I think that most of the time when the law is being taught or preached or used by Christians, it's the wrong use, an unhelpful use of the law. Like Paul would say, it's an illegal use of the law.
Okay, you mentioned them briefly, but please explain in a little more detail the salutary uses of the law, ultimately salutary uses of the law, ultimately the Holy Spirit's way of using the law on us at different times, again, according to his will. What are they?
Well, in the Catechism, we learn that the three uses of the law, the curb, the mirror, and the guide. Three uses or functions of the law. Like you said, this is what, when the Holy Spirit is coming with the law of God, this is what he's doing. The curb is really setting all the things in society in order. It's keeping us from destroying one another and taking each other. It's really protecting the gifts of creation and the gifts that God gives to all humanity. So that's the first use, is the curb. And this is really the use that's yielded most often by good government. When the good government takes up the law in to use it to keep society in order, they're using the law as a curb to keep order and decency in society. The second use is the theological use, and really is the chief use. Although I think it's very interesting that even though it's the chief use, it's still the second use. It doesn't take place of the first. But this is the use that we call the mirror. And that is, the law shows us our own sinfulness. Like when you wake up in the morning and you kind of roll out of bed and you put your face in front of the mirror and you say, oh, boy. This is what the law does when we consider the Ten Commandments and then we consider our own lives, what we do and what we think and what we say. We just kind of groan, oh, boy, I am a sinner. And this is the second and chief use of the law. The third use of the law is what we might call a guide or a map, and this use, it gives shape to the Christian's love for God and for the neighbor. So this is the law that, because we're forgiven by Christ, the Christian is no longer under the condemnation of the law. The new man in us delights to hear the Lord's law and to keep it. And so that's the third use of the law, is the guide. And these are all good and useful and salutary.
Of the illegal uses, as you call them, which is, well, take your pick, either the most common or the most dangerous?
I made these names up. I was trying to come up with some cutesy names for the illegal uses of the law, and one of them might be kind of funny. We have the cosmetic use, the pedestal use, the parking validation use, the measuring stick use, and the telescopic use. But I think the most dangerous one would be the second one here, the pedestal use of the law. This is where we use the law to prop ourselves up and make ourselves impressive to God. Look at me. Look at how good I am. This is the attempt of the sinner to justify themselves in the eyes of God. And you see this all of the time outside the church and inside the church too. But whenever you ask someone, hey, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And they say, oh, yeah, sure. I'm a good person. So they have some sort of law, some sort of way of judging what a good person is and what a bad person is, and that's a law. And they've used it to judge themselves good, not just good, but worthy of eternal life. So that's the pedestal misuse of the law, and it is terrible. It's just kind of crass works righteousness, and the entire Scripture militates against that.
Now, just so people understand, there's no fooling God. You cannot dress yourself up with your own good works and look good in God's sight.
Oh, yeah, he sees the heart. He judges perfectly, which is why when God takes the law into his hands, like we mentioned before, and starts to show us our own sinfulness, this pedestal begins to crumble. In fact, while the misuse of the law would be to prop ourselves up, the proper use of the law is to, God uses it to tear ourselves down so that we have no confidence in the flesh, so that we even despair of ourselves and our own goodness. So the proper use of the law and the illegal use of the law are doing just the very opposite. When God looks at us, he sees us for the wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked sinners that we are.
So if I look in the mirror of the law and I like what I see, that is, I think it's presenting me with a picture of myself that God would find attractive and that God would not disapprove of, I'm essentially falling into this first misuse of the law.
Yeah, it's kind of like the carnival mirrors where, you know, you've just stuffed yourself with like five deep-fried corn dogs and 2 pounds of cotton candy, you know, and you're walking along, and then you walk by the carnival mirror, and it makes you look like you're about 7 feet tall and 2 inches thin. You know, hey, that's looking pretty good there. This is the kind of mirror that we've turned the law into. It's not giving us a right picture of ourselves, but a distorted picture of ourselves. If we look at ourselves and are proud, then we are looking at a distorted law and a distorted picture of ourselves.
All right, with about 30 seconds here before we take our break, the next one you mentioned, you called it the pedestal use. With about 30 seconds, give us an introduction.
Yeah, well, the pedestal use, that's the one we were just talking about, where we prop ourselves up to God. But the one that comes before that, actually, would be the cosmetic use, where now we're using the law not to really impress God, but to impress other people. So we're dressing ourselves up, and we're making ourselves look to where people look at us, and they say, oh, look at how holy that guy is. Look at how Christian. This is where the Christian is always smiling and always, how's it going? Oh, good, God's, you know, blessings are overflowing, this kind of everything's always fantastic and great. So we use the law like Mary Kay products to cover up our own blemishes so that other people would look at us and be pleased with us.
Well, let's take that up on the other side of the break. That's the tricky part about the law, is we can fool ourselves into thinking that we are outward, that we are keeping it because we may outwardly keep it, because we may be able to convince others that we are keeping it, but we can't convince God. When we come back, more on the bad uses of the law with Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller. How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward V.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about bad uses of God's law, misuses of God's law. Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and author of an article titled 5 Illegal Uses of the Law. You can read it under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Our in-studio email address on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 3rd, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at issuesetc or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Okay, so we've talked about the pedestal use. You said that's probably the most common and dangerous. Let's talk a little bit more about the Mary Kay use. Does this stem from the fact that we can fool ourselves and others into thinking that we're keeping the law externally, that is, through external actions, if not with the heart?
Yeah, this is the... See, the Pharisees were experts at this. I've got nothing against Mary Kay, by the way. Carrie said, don't name it the Mary Kay use. I like kind of like Mary Kay, so I don't know if anyone, Mary Kay, is interested in being a sponsor of our Table Talk Radio, but this is, when we take the law to do this sort of thing, to cover up our blemishes, this is really where we're using it to deceive other people. So the Pharisees are experts at this. I mean, the law, full on from God, always condemns us. But the Pharisees had so distorted the law with their traditions and their rules and all of this, that they had a law that was keepable and doable, but very difficult, so that they could appear to be righteous and holy. They essentially changed the very essence of the law. Now it's not to condemn, but to prove that we are righteous, or to show forth our own righteousness and obedience. And Jesus calls this use the whitewashed tomb use, so that the Pharisees look beautiful and white and holy on the outside, but inside they're full of dead man's bones. So there's no keeping the law at all. It's just to put on a face and to deceive people around you, so that they pay you money and give you the best seats and all of this sort of thing. And this is also a terrible use. The law is essentially God's tool to get to the truth of our sinfulness and the truth of His gifts. But this use, all these misuses are deceptive uses of the law. So now I'm using the law to deceive my neighbor into thinking that I'm holy.
It's often believed about the Pharisees that Jesus condemned them for being too strict with the law, that is, applying the law too strictly, when in fact, if you look at what Jesus says, He actually accuses them of being too lenient with the law when He answers their kind of Mary Kay use of the law. He drives it so hard home that no one can claim to have kept it, even outwardly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is the trick of the Pharisees, is that the command from God, it can never be kept. You just can't do it. God says love, and you can never lay down your head at night and you say, today I loved my neighbors, myself, and I loved the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I mean, you can never do that. But the Pharisees took the law and they softened it so that they could do it, but that it was hard. I mean, you had to have your entire day had to be dedicated to counting your steps and measuring the figs that you're carrying and, you know, and all this sort, and the garments that you're wearing and everything, so that it was difficult. The normal guy off the street couldn't do it, but they could do it. And now they so softened the law that it just serves this purpose of putting them above everything else. It's probably really, when we're talking about this, another misuse of the law, which is called the measuring stick use, where we take up the law to see how we measure up to the people around us. And the Pharisees had so perfected this that they were always, you know, standing by their own laws and rules, a head above everybody else.
Kathy is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, thank you for waiting on the line.
Yeah, thank you. And I am a fan of Table Talk Radio. It's funny, you guys, when I listen to you, you're always saying you only have a few. I think you have more than a few. I know you're just doing it in jest, but I'm one of the few. And I really enjoy it. I like to listen to it when I'm doing, like, other things on the computer, like if I'm playing solitaire or something. I really enjoy both of the programs, but to get to the uses of the law that I find so frustrating within the church with other believers and is that they seem to combine these misuses, and they come up with a really strange concoction where they're trying to fool God, they're trying to fool their neighbor, and they really, though, it drives them back to despair But then they just go back to trying to fool everyone again instead of where we need to be driven. And this just shows you that it's just the Holy Spirit that any of us understand any of this, because our natural man just does not get it. We just continue to trip over the same things. And would you talk about how we combine the misuses of the law?
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Sure. This is, and thank you, Kathy, as well, and thanks for listening to this Table Talk Radio mess. I thought you were going to say you listen to Table Talk Radio as background noise for when you're listening to Issues, etc. And I thought that would be a good use of Table Talk. But but it is true that whenever we're using the law without the gospel, it's going to result in pride or despair. And most people are on this roller coaster between the two, like a pendulum. So that I'm trying to keep the law to please God, to fool everyone else, or I'm trying to keep the law to please God, and then I realize I can't do it, so now I'm just going to switch to keeping the law to fool everyone else, but then I get caught, and now I swing over to despair, and it's back and forth between these two. And it's true, it's a nasty business, this misuse of the law. It really runs roughshod over consciences. I think, though, the thing that perhaps the scriptures talk about in this area is rest. That when the gospel comes in, it gives us rest, which means we stop working. We just cease from our labors of trying to please God and fool everyone else. We just rejoice that Jesus has done all of the work for us. And the gospel comes in when the law has been has shown us our sinfulness and our wretchedness and cast us down. The law comes in and it gives us true and eternal rest. And so I think that is the way out of all of the misuses of the law, is to hear our sinfulness and then to hear the forgiveness of sins which we have in the death of Jesus.
Josh via Twitter says or asks, is the whitewashed tomb use of the law related to the prosperity gospel? Both allegedly prove our righteousness.
Yes, there is another misuse. These are all related to each other. There's probably only one big misuse of the law, and all my little names aren't. They just kind of get in the way. But there's a misuse we might call the parking validation use of the law, and that is where we use the law to comfort our consciences that we're Christians. We say, look, I've got to be a Christian because look how good I am. Surely I'm a Christian because I used to do all this bad stuff and now I don't. Or I know I'm a Christian, and this is the prosperity gospel. I know I'm a Christian because I used to be poor, but now I, sent $1,000 to the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I got a new car, and so now I must be a Christian. So when we take up the law to prove something, to comfort our consciences about something, then this is another misuse of the law. It's looking, it's putting our faith and our trust and our confidence in the wrong spot. We know that we're Christians because God's word was spoken to us, his word of forgiveness and life, and his name was poured over us, and his blood and body is put into our mouths. We know that we're Christians because of what the Lord has done to us and for us, not what we've done for him.
Okay, I want to come back just a moment to the measuring stick, because you mentioned it very briefly, but the measuring stick use. It strikes me that the problem with the measuring stick, if the measuring stick of the law is at that manageable height, then it's a misuse. If we understand it to be a measuring stick of infinite height, that is, one that measures only perfection and no increments in between, then maybe we might be able to talk about the law as a measuring stick.
Yeah, it's really this measuring stick business is where we grade on a curve, where we say, well, I'm not as bad as that clown over there, or I didn't sin nearly as much as that fool. And so now we have some sort of confidence in ourselves just because we're better than the other guy. And it gets really nasty whenever the measuring stick is used, so we start to use the measuring stick to tally up all the sins that people have committed against us. So now we're angry, or we've somehow justified our lack of love for our neighbor because we've tallied all the times they've sinned against us. But you're right; the measuring stick really gets dangerous is not when we're not measuring ourselves, but when we're measuring the other guy. But when we take the law of God to ourselves and we try to see if we measure up to the righteous standard that the Lord has in His law, and we say, "Boy, I don't even get close," then that's a right use of the law. That's a good use of the law. It's when we start to compare ourselves to everyone else, then we're uh, then we're really in trouble, and we fall under the. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the plank and the speck. So you're there trying to pick the speck out of your neighbor's eye, and you don't realize that you have a plank in your own. So consider your own plank. See if you measure up first, says Jesus. And by the way, you don't. So that's exactly right, Todd.
With about a minute before we take a break, he says there, after you have measured yourself, then you will see clearly. He doesn't forbid us to apply the law to others, but he wants us to do it with clear-eyed view of ourselves according to that same law. 1 minute for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you are condemned first and then forgiven. And having been condemned and forgiven by the law and by the gospel, now we are ready at least to begin to speak the same word of law and gospel to our neighbor. We need to bring the law to our neighbor, because if you don't have the law rightly used that shows forth our sinfulness and our need for Jesus, then you're in trouble. I mean,
well,
you don't.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have one more question for Pastor Brian Wilfmiller. A few more minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about bad uses of the law. He is host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to Table Talk at issuesetc.org. Stay tuned.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
21-year-old Leah Winandy was standing in front of an abortion mill in Duluth, Minnesota, trying to change the hearts of women going in for abortions. When she approached Michelle Hall, the pregnant woman pulled out a knife and held it up to Leah's throat, saying, "Don't come near me." Michelle was arrested and pled guilty in court, where it was revealed she didn't have the abortion after all. A reporter later contacted her at home and asked why. Michelle said Leah made her realize she didn't want to kill her unborn baby. And she had a message for the pro-lifer. Tell her, thank you for being there. Otherwise, Michelle said, I probably would have gone through with it and regretted it for the rest of my life. Another life spared.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
In just a few minutes, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We're going to talk about signs and symbols in the church. She's authored a new children's book titled Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism. And that's great, unless your church has done away with all symbols. And there are many churches that have whitewashed themselves out of all symbolism. We'll talk about that with Pam in just a few minutes. In the meantime, Pastor Brian Wilfmiller is our guest. We're talking about bad uses of the law. The one that I found most intriguing, I hadn't really considered this one seriously before, is what you call the telescope use of the law.
Yeah, this is where we, you know, a telescope helps you see, you know, people walking around on the moon or whatever it is. And this is when you take up the law and you say, boy, look at how bad those guys are way over there. So it's kind of like the measuring stick use at a distance. And it has the idea that if we keep ourselves separate from the sinners, then we're going to have some sort of degree of holiness ourselves. So I think this is the misuse that's most common in the pulpit. where the preacher talks about all the sinners out there, you know, on the other side of the wall, on the other side of the street, or whatever it is. So, boy, the world's really bad. Good thing we're really good. And so there's this distance between us and the worldlings, between us and the pagans, this sort of thing. And this, the Pharisees were also experts at this use, which is why they always get so mad at Jesus, because he sits down with sinners. He eats with sinners. He rubs shoulders with prostitutes and tax collectors. Unbelievable that you're not supposed to be that close. You're gonna become unclean. Well, that's maybe the point. Jesus is becoming unclean for us, so that we might be made clean in him, in his death and in his resurrection. But Jesus doesn't intend for us to, keep this distance from sinners, but to realize that we are sinners ourselves. And then we can rejoice that Jesus doesn't keep a distance from us, but sinks himself down into our sin and wretchedness to save us.
With 1 minute, why has God given us his law, and to what proper use would he have us put it?
Look, even when we misuse the law, which I think the old Adam and the devil are experts at the misuse of the law, even this mishandling of God's word, he forgives us. But his law shows us our sinfulness. It shows us this, that we misuse the law. It shows us our pride and our despair. It shows us our arrogance and our deception. It shows us how we are always trying to present ourselves as holy to God and to our neighbor, but it's a big sham. The law, properly used, shows us our sinfulness, but it shows us for a very distinct purpose. So it's because when we know that we're sinners, when we know that we stand condemned by God's law, then we hear the good news of Jesus, that he has died for our sins, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might in him become the righteousness of God. So he calls us by the gospel holy and blessed and perfect and righteous. He calls us his own dear children and his friends. And that's when the law gets us to that despair so we can hear the gospel, then that is the Holy Spirit using the law rightly.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Denver, host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, author of an article titled 5 Illegal Uses of the Law. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Todd, thank you. Have a great day.
Here's a good rule of thumb. If you find yourself using the law of God, let's just say the Ten Commandments, in such a way so that you're let off the hook, they don't accuse you, they don't find anything in you, or maybe even one or two of them don't find anything in you to accuse, you're misusing the law. We read them so that they might show us who we really are before a holy and righteous God and our dire need for one who kept them for us perfectly, Jesus, our perfectly sinless Savior.